Can you please state your name and profession?
I'm Chase Aboudin, and I'm the San Francisco District Attorney.
Why are you here this evening, this afternoon?
I'm here because we have a Republican-funded, Republican-endorsed recall, and it's on the ballot this Tuesday, about 6 days from now, and I want to make sure that as many San Francisco voters as possible get to hear from me directly, get to get some of the facts, get to cut through the lies and the propaganda, and get to see that everybody who voters trust is opposing this recall. The Democratic Party,
and by all reports, he's likely to lose. The basic premise? Crime is on the rise, and the DA's embrace of decarceration, a policy that seeks to reduce the number of people we send to jail, is directly to blame. Bodine, previously a deputy public defender, was elected in 2019 over Susie Loftus, who served as interim district attorney after George Gascon resigned and moved to LA to run for DA there. It was a close race in a low turnout election. Bodine received 85,950 votes. Loftus got 83,511. The people of San Francisco have sent a powerful and clear message. It's time for radical change to how we envision justice, Bodine said via a statement after winning. Quote, I'm humbled to be a part of this movement that is unwavering in its demand for transformation. Politicians have to act like they received a mandate from voters, especially when they didn't. A few months after Bodine took office, the pandemic disrupted every aspect of life in San Francisco, and some types of crime became more visible, even if they weren't actually on the rise. Local news often ran security videos from drugstores featuring especially brazen shoplifters that went viral. At this point, every city resident knows someone who's had their car broken into if it hasn't happened to them personally. Being homeless is not illegal, but as encampments appeared in neighborhoods that had not previously seen them, many residents began to feel threatened and unsafe. Last year, during the holiday season in 2021, highly organized groups executed synchronized robberies of high-end retailers in Union Square shopping district. Those videos went viral too. I'm not gonna lie, things are not great on the streets in many parts of the city. The little housing we have is exorbitantly expensive, and bad things happen when people are forced to live on the street and under freeway on-ramps. Some types of crime are on the rise, others have decreased. It's complex. And even though Bodine is actually filing charges at a slightly higher rate overall than any local prosecutor in the last 10 years, the police are arresting suspects at a lower rate. Last year, only 4.2% of incidents reported to the San Francisco police resulted in arrests, reports Mission Local. So, what is this recall really about? Here's my full interview with San Francisco District Attorney Chase Bodine, edited for clarity. I ran into him while I was walking down the street with a friend.
Can you please state your name and profession?
I'm Chase Bodine, and I'm the San Francisco District Attorney.
And we're here at the corner of Carl and...
Cole,
all right. And so why are you here this evening, this afternoon?
I'm here because we have a Republican-funded, Republican-endorsed recall, and it's on the ballot this Tuesday, about 6 days from now. And I want to make sure that as many San Francisco voters as possible get to hear from me directly, get to get some of the facts, get to cut through the lies and the propaganda, and get to see that everybody who voters trust is opposing this recall. The Democratic Party, the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner, the Labor Council, and so many more that voters trust who've done the work, who've dug in and looked at the evidence and listened to both sides, understand that the recall is selling lies. They are long on money, they are short on facts.
And so if you are replaced, the mayor chooses your replacement, right?
That's right. The voters will not be able to choose my replacement. The recall will take away from all the voters the ability to choose their own district attorney.
And do you think this is going to set a precedent if this is a successful recall?
I think we're seeing recall fever across the state. They tried to recall Governor Newsom. Republicans backed that recall. They failed miserably, but it hasn't stopped them. They're trying to recall me. They're trying to recall D.A. Gascon in Los Angeles. They're even trying to pass laws in places like Illinois that would allow them to recall progressive, reform-minded prosecutors. It's a classic Republican play. They're doing it from coast to coast, and they're doing it because they know that they can't win elections when they put their ideas and their candidates on the ballot.
So I only have two more questions.
Sure.
So why do you think so many San Franciscans feel as though crime is on the increase as far as, you know, across the board?
Two primary reasons. One is we've seen a real shift in crime. Even though crime is down, certain categories are up, and certain neighborhoods that didn't used to experience crime are experiencing more crime. That means for some people, crime is up. even though overall when we look at big picture data, it's down. The second reason is that there's been an exponential increase in media coverage of crime and videos of crime because there's more cameras, there's more surveillance, and people are spending more time looking at social media, Nextdoor, Twitter, than ever before because of the pandemic. So even though overall there's been about a 20% decline in crime since I took office, different people are experiencing different kinds of crime, and more people are seeing videos of it and reading headlines about it.
Okay. And here's my, I guess, my last question in kind of ranking, in ranked choice preference. Who is most responsible for quality of life and fighting crime in San Francisco? Is it the district attorney, the mayor, the police force, the board of supervisors?
You know, everybody in city government shares responsibility for solving the city's problems. It's really important that we have nuanced, honest conversations about where the bottlenecks are and about what kinds of changes in policy and funding are going to solve these problems. The reality is all of us have a role to play, and none of us can do it alone.
Thanks very much for your time.
Appreciate you. Have a good day.
Take care.
Thank you. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Chase Bodine is a 41-year-old lawyer who wants to reform the criminal justice system, but he's much more than that. The man is a rhetorical trope, also called a metonym. Bear with me. A metonym is a figure of speech where you refer to a thing using the name of something else that is connected to it. The White House represents the American executive branch. Silicon Valley is a metonym for the technology industry and its underpinnings. There's the Pentagon, Wall Street, the Ivy League, so on. So, what do we actually mean when we say Chase Bodine? His parents, Kathy Bodine and David Gilbert, were radical left-wing activists bent on overthrowing American imperialism. As members of the Weather Underground, they took part in a 1981 armed robbery that resulted in the deaths of a security guard and two police officers. At the time, Bodine was 14 months old. He was adopted and raised by Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, former members of the Weather Underground themselves. His mother was sentenced to 20 years to life, and his father got 75 to life. Kathy Bodine passed away last month. David Gilbert's sentence was commuted last year, and he was released. Chase Bodine attended Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship and earned two master's degrees, one in forced migration, the other in Latin American public policy. Then he worked as a translator in the Venezuelan presidential palace during the administration of Hugo Chavez. After earning his JD from Yale Law School, started working in the San Francisco Public Defender's Office, and in 2018, he won a landmark case while representing a client. Kenneth Humphrey, a 64-year-old man with previous robbery convictions, was held pending trial for almost a year after he was arrested for breaking into the home of an elderly neighbor, threatening him and stealing a bottle of cologne and $5. California State Appeals Court determined that judges must consider the ability to pay when setting bail. Otherwise, defendants are just being locked up for being poor, and not for criminal behavior. One last bit, Chase Bodine's grandfather, also an attorney, defended Paul Robeson and Fidel Castro. If you don't know who they are, Google them. You can see why that could be a problem for a lot of people. His granduncle was a Marxist theoretician, and his great-uncle, I.F. Stone, was a renowned progressive journalist who was also accused of being a secret Soviet agent. On Nextdoor, the hyperlocal, hyperbolic social network, people share their experiences with crime and quality of life issues. Garage break-ins, stolen bicycles, vehicle burglaries and thefts are the most common crimes reported, followed by complaints about homeless residents. But in so many cases, no matter what the issue is, someone responds these days to the original poster urging them to support tomorrow's recall election. Here's a case in point. I received an email notification. Someone had posted a thread on Nextdoor explaining how their vehicle was, quote, carjacked right in front of them, unquote. Normally, I avoid reading Nextdoor, like I would avoid rubbing my eyes after chopping jalapenos, but I had to click through. If a neighbor's car was stolen using force or the threat of force, I wanted to know. So imagine my surprise when I clicked through and read that the original poster had left their keys in the ignition while running a short errand. Other people replied with expressions of sympathy and support, and of course, an abundance of inchoate middle-class rage. And right on cue, someone jumped in to post, "Vote yes on H." Here's my theory of the case. Chase Bodine is the part that refers to the whole. He's the container that describes its contents. For those people who feel afraid to walk down the street at night or have paid several hundred dollars to replace a smashed vehicle window, or don't like seeing someone's foot poking out of a tent that's pitched outside their home or on their block? For those people, Vote Yes on H is a mantra. It's a way of visualizing and speaking into life the San Francisco they want to create, one of law and order. A place where the bad guys get put away. And I guess we can all leave our keys in the ignition. According to Mission Local last year, Bodine actually filed charges at a slightly higher rate overall than any local prosecutor in the last 10 years. But because more suspects got court supervision and other jail alternatives, convictions are substantially down. Also, the court system slowed down at the start of the pandemic, which kind of skews the numbers a bit. They're catching up now. According to SFPD's incident report dashboard, between 2019 and 2021, there have been increases in homicide, burglary, car theft, arson, and larceny. Also true, the police are arresting suspects at a lower rate, which means Bodine has fewer cases to prosecute. According to Mission Local, quote, "The San Francisco Police Department's clearance rate has dropped to its lowest level in a decade, 8.1%. That means that for every 12 crimes reported to the police, the SFPD only registers one arrest." Here's Mission Local Managing Editor Joe Eskenazi.
I think there's a lot of factors going in here, none of which is to say that Chase Boudin is doing a bang-up job, but the outsized reaction is driven by this. And the fact that people are more isolated than they used to be because of the pandemic and because of the dystopian series of news stories and cheap San Francisco media and the next door phenomena that you mentioned. And the fact that property crime is pretty rampant and always has been, except during the pandemic, property crime became more personal because since it was not profitable to break into cars, people began breaking into homes. And that is a lot more personally violating, and people get a lot more worked up about it. And if it happens to you or happens to someone on your block, or if you read about it on Nextdoor, it's going to be a big deal. So being as Chase Boudin does not seem to be the kind of person who would have fireside chats and be able to, you know, empathize. He's not Bill Clinton feeling your pain. Chase Boudin is someone who, you know, admits now that he was too dismissive of this at first, you know, pointing out that statistically crime is down, which it absolutely is. But, you know, crime is down, but crimes are up and down. And during the opening days of the pandemic, there was a lot more burglary, a lot less breaking in of cars. And that affects people differently. And he did not handle it with the emotional pat on the back that he should have. And it has been a costly blunder.
What do we know as far as what where voters are thinking right now?
There have been a variety of polls, and you don't have to be Nate Silver to figure out that if you take the poll of polls, it's looking very bad for Chase Boudin. His own in-house polling has him down 48 to 38, or at least it did in mid-May. And that's bad for 2 weeks or 3 weeks before an election. Not only is it bad to be down 10 points, it's bad to have 48% of people coalesced against something because there's not a whole lot of room to scratch and claw and get those people back. And other polls are worse, up into the mid-60s against him. So it's a very, very difficult heave. He is polling very badly with Chinese Americans. If he wants to keep from getting run off the field with Asian voters, he's going to have to overperform with Filipinos and Vietnamese. It's a bad sign to be doing so poorly among likely voters that you have to reach out to low likely voters, less likely voters, rather. All of these things are not a place of strength. You know, the team is down 15 or 18 points heading into the fourth quarter.
So who chooses his replacement?
The mayor, Mayor London Breed.
I already knew that, but I wanted to hear you say it. And who is the mayor likely to pick?
You know, a lot of people are angling for that pick. I would say that the odds on favorite would be Supervisor Catherine Stephanie, who has been unsubtly running such a campaign for the better part of a year, who has unsubtly put a victims' rights proposition on this ballot so that unlimited amount of money can be spent on a ballot proposition that has her picture on it. And a lot of the funding for that is coming from the very same people who are putting money into the recall campaign. Also, this mayor likes to make appointments. And if you appoint Catherine Stephanie DA, then you get to appoint someone to replace Catherine Stephanie. So that is one way of looking at things. I would say that the people who complain the most about the state of government in San Francisco seem to act as if we don't have a mayor at all, when the mayor is extremely powerful in San Francisco in this matter, but also in budgeting, which is how you do government. The strength of the strong mayor is hard to overstate in San Francisco.
We're going to recall the DA, and then we'll get a new DA. And I kind of wonder whether, when there's a new DA in this role, does all the Sturm und Drang as far as crime is out of control in San Francisco, does all that stop? Does all this fuss go away? Are people satisfied when there's a new person in this role? Or are people really going to hold this new person accountable?
I would guess that the Sturm und Drang would go away. I would guess that a few symbolic moves or feel-good moves would satiate a lot of people. If you decide that you're going to prosecute fentanyl dealers and you're going to put people in jail, and if they might get deported as a result of it, well, then fuck them. That I think would satisfy a lot of people. And you can argue till you're blue in the face that deporting criminals doesn't make us safer. You can argue that people are being punished anyway. You can pull out all the spreadsheets you want. But the satisfaction of punitive measures is indeed alluring, even in so-called liberal San Francisco. Before we look at the inevitable mountain of hot takes coming out of East Coast media when San Francisco recalls its woke DA,
Can't wait.
So in this case, like the Board of Education, there will be hot takes galore from people who are marginally knowledgeable, or perhaps not even that. People who could find San Francisco on a map and maybe have had soup in a bread bowl once or twice, but really don't know much about the goings on here.
How is this just like the school board recall, and how is it different?
It's extremely different because I think you're making a crazy statement when you say, as some people legitimately did, that it boded disastrously for the Democrats in the midterms nationally because San Francisco recalled its Board of Education in a low turnout special election. Now, it's just such a galaxy brain thing to say. You know, you have to be pretty stupid to be the jack of all trades political opinion haver who is well paid on Substack or, you know, at some publication. It really helps to be unencumbered by the critical process. But that one is amazing because if you can look at, you know, the Board of Education underperformed in very notable ways. You know, we aren't having a statistical argument about whether, you know, kids in school is up or kids in school is down. It was down because they were out of school and people were very upset about that. You don't have a statistical argument about the number of $87 million lawsuits launched against the district by disgruntled members of the Board of Education. We know how many there were. All of these things pointed towards someone being voted out of office very handily. And that's what happened. Whereas with District Attorney Boudin, a lot of the things people are most worked up about, when given even a modicum of thought, really aren't his area. People are upset about crime, which the DA has a non-central role in. People are upset about homelessness and filth and conditions on the street, which the DA has a marginal role in. People are upset about a lot of things that, frankly, are under the aegis of the mayor, not the aegis of the district attorney. But District Attorney Boudin will be recalled for these things. So I think that the hot takes will be more on the mark this time because San Francisco voters will have been persuaded to stave back a so-called progressive prosecutor based upon a fairly traditional line of arguments crime is out of control, even if the statistics say it isn't, and that what these criminals need is the back of our hand.
I'm sorry, Joe. Can you hold on 1 second? Sorry. I had some misgivings, but I voted for Chase Boudin in 2019. He seemed like an inexperienced politician, but I believed he was deeply committed to reforming the criminal justice system. I still do. But facts are facts. This recall is being run in bad faith, and it's based on naked emotional appeals to our worst instincts. And it will probably pass. There are a lot of local TV ads urging viewers to turn Boudin out of office, but not nearly as many opposing the recall. And Boudin doesn't have money for an all-out anti-recall campaign, which is why I found him at a major transit stop during rush hour. Beside the flyers in my mailbox, I've seen two No on H volunteers. They rang my doorbell over the weekend. That's about all I've seen from this side. This past weekend, just before the Tuesday election tomorrow,
Reverend Jesse Jackson and relatives of labor activist Cesar Chavez were in town. Rally support. It's well-intentioned, but it's also more evidence of how sclerotic the Democratic Party has become. Jesse Jackson's base of support in San Francisco is not substantial in 2022. The real winner here won't just be the people who funded the recall campaign. Mayor London Breed will actually be the biggest beneficiary. She has a Teflon coating that prevents anything from sticking to her. Whether it's corruption or administrative dysfunction, voters just seem to have no desire to hold her accountable for anything. And so this recall gives an already strong mayor the ability to appoint more loyal friends and colleagues to powerful positions. But here are a few statistics that probably won't make their way into many of the hot takes by East Coast journalists who parachute in after tomorrow's recall. The Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice issued a report looking at performance trends within SFPD. Here are some highlights, and I'm quoting here. The SFPD has the highest cost per square mile patrolled, the second highest spending level per resident, and the most employees per resident out of California's six major city police departments. SFPD arrests have declined by an average of 60% per reported offense from 2010 to 2020, challenging conventional belief that more police leads to lower crime. The SFPD has the lowest rate of reported offenses solved by an arrest, 8.8%, compared to other major city departments. And finally, the SFPD arrests black people at the highest rate of any major California city. In 2020, the SFPD's arrest rate for black people was 9.8 times higher than its arrest rate for non-black people, and 3.6 times the average arrest rate for black people statewide. I'd like to thank Eleni Balakrishnan of Mission Local for her coverage of SFPD's incident report. Thanks also to Joe Eskenazi, managing editor of Mission Local. Music for The Golden City was written and performed by Michael Tritter. Thanks very much for listening. Please follow Golden City Pod on Twitter and subscribe to